Dreams flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel.
Hello and welcome to another There Are Giants podcast. I'm your host, Roger Munter. It's opening day for me. I'm in a few hours going to hop in the car, drive down to Richmond, watch opening night for the Squirrels in front of yet another sellout crowd, and get to enjoy Hayden Birdsong making his first start of the year to see what he can do to follow up last year's sensational debut. One of the highlight days of my calendar, and I'm pretty excited about it. So for today, to get you all ready for Richmond's home opener, I have a few short interviews I did last week at the Diamond on Richmond's Media Day. We're going to hear from a couple of guys who hope to stay on the field and healthy this year following a couple of difficult years. Carson Ragsdale, who had a sensational Double-A debut Saturday night up in Somerset. And then I spoke with Hunter Bishop, who was similarly fantastic this weekend. Both are looking forward to really getting their first full year in a while and showing what they can do. And finally, I spoke with manager Dennis Pelfrey. We talked a little about the team, about what he sees in the team, but also there's a lot of returning members on this year's Richmond Club. And of course, from a development perspective, you always want to be moving up. So I talked to Dennis a little bit about, you know, what his message to guys is who come back and maybe you're a little disheartened about that. And I thought his answer on that was really interesting. So with that, Their Giants podcast is brought to you by my subscribers. Everything I do is subscriber-based, ad-free, and delivered straight to your inbox. So if you want to get more of my thoughts on the Giants farm system, now's a great time to become a Their Giants subscriber with the minor league season just getting underway. With that, let's first talk to Carson Ragsdale, who originally was acquired by the Giants after the 2020 pandemic summer from Philadelphia in a trade for Sam Coonrod. Had a fantastic first season in San Jose, and since then he showed glimpses of great stuff and excellent command, but he has had a series of things that have taken him off the mound. First, thoracic outlet surgery. Last year he had some elbow inflammation. When he was in college and converting from a two-way player to a pure pitcher, he underwent TJ. So we talked a little about kind of the starts and stops of his career, where he feels like he's at, and what's kept him going all this time. And here is Carson Ragsdale.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
So Carson, thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Thanks for having me.
So how are you feeling, first of all? I saw you in camp. You looked great, as you have always looked great anytime I've seen you. How does it feel to be here?
Yeah, it feels really good. It's just awesome to go out and be able to pitch and feel healthy and like confident in my ability and just go out there and attack hitters and not have to worry about anything else. So it feels really good to be back healthy.
I was talking with one of your teammates in Scottsdale, and they were saying, you know, the thing about injuries is it really takes your mind and your focus away from your development, from your craft, from thinking about getting better as a player and athlete, because you're just focused on your body and making yourself feel good. Obviously, that's something you've had to deal with as well, right?
For sure. Yeah. There's a lot that goes into that, but just knowing that, like, I'm in a spot now where I'm feeling good and just trying to keep it there every day and do what I can to put in the work and make sure that my body's ready to go and continue feeling that way. So it's just kind of a day-to-day process and just enjoying feeling good.
I saw you pitch, I guess, a year and a half ago in the Arizona Complex when you were just coming back from thoracic outlet surgery, and then I remember talking with your, then girlfriend, now wife, and she was talking about how much you'd worked to get back to that point. Can you take us through that process a little bit? I think thoracic outlet surgery is not very well understood at all in the public. What was that whole process like? How did you even find out that you needed it?
Yeah, I mean, how much time you got? We got it's a long story, but there's a lot that goes into that too. But so basically, I had in college, I had one friend that had thoracic outlet, so I had kind of been familiar with it, and it's kind of evolved into this bigger thing nowadays where a lot more people are getting diagnosed with it. But back when I had it, it was kind of a rare occurrence. I think with the Giants, I was maybe the second guy that the PT staff had ever seen with it. So I finished my season in San Jose and went home and was kind of doing just some recovery throwing after the season. My arm swelled up and it wasn't going back down. It was just like really bizarre. Felt like my arm weighed like 1,000 pounds, couldn't even lift it over my head, like could barely even lift it above my shoulder to throw. I was like, I obviously bizarre. So we went to the urgent care, got it checked out, and they told me I needed to go to the ER. In the ER, they told me I had 3 blood clots in the subclavius vein, and they really weren't too sure what it was because I was just at the general hospital, so they didn't know I was a baseball player or anything like that. But eventually got diagnosed with thoracic outlet, got the blood clots taken out, had the first rib removed. And after that, I had to work through, had some complications with the surgery where during the surgery, a nerve got kind of tugged on and it shut down my infraspinatus, supraspinatus, like rotator cuff muscles. So complete atrophy of those muscles. Couldn't even lift a 2-pound dumbbell off the table. External rotation was like non-existent. So when I first had surgery, it was kind of like a quick thing. It was like I went to Dr. Thompson in St. Louis, who's like one of the best thoracic outlet guys, and he told me I needed surgery. And this was on a Friday, and then on the Monday following, he said he had an opening for surgery. So I went back to Cleveland with my girlfriend, now wife, because I was visiting her for Thanksgiving, I think. And then we were there for a weekend. So I went home with her, ended up coming right back to St. Louis for the surgery on Monday. And based on my friend's surgery, I had heard that thoracic outlet was like a 3 to 5 month recovery. So I was like, all right, I can do this now and be ready for spring training. And that was not the case. So it took me basically that whole year to build back the strength and rotator cuff, build up my arm strength, like everything. So it was a very long process.
I know pitchers who've had Tommy John talk about sort of coming back and it feels like you're throwing with somebody else's arm. Was it something like that where you kind of had to reacquaint yourself with your body, that things didn't feel the way you were used to them feeling?
Honestly, coming back from thoracic outlet, I had felt really good. Like just throwing every day, I was feeling really good. And then I think probably right after that outing that you saw me in the complex league, maybe 2 outings after that, my shoulder gave out, had like a little shoulder strain, but nothing too serious. It was just too much too soon with the loss of the muscle and all that. But so I actually felt a lot better coming off thoracic outlet than I did off TJ. Just TJ, you're kind of like a little cautious on how the ligaments repaired, like all that. Like I didn't get anything fixed in thoracic outlet. I just had the rib taken out, so that mental thing like wasn't really there.
So you come back from that. I saw you the next spring. You were looking strong. You were looking great. You were pounding the strike zone. Great stuff. You go out there, have a fantastic start to the year with your first month, and then you go down again. Did you know, first of all, that you were going to be gone for the season when it first happened?
Yeah, really gradual thing. Kind of just something that bugged me all season. We tried to come back from it, and it just wasn't feeling good, and just kind of needed more time than the season allowed.
So how have you dealt with the mental, emotional side of all this, just not being able to get out on the field and do the thing you love for so much time?
Yeah, that's tough. Just like being on the sidelines and not being, like you're seeing all of your friends out there competing and feeling like you're losing time, losing experience and all this. But really, like, my faith has been what's kept me grounded in those moments. And that's something I've kind of been able to dive into, and to know that like my identity isn't in baseball. Like, if I'm not playing baseball, like, I'd be okay. But this is something that God's allowed me to do and allowed me to come back from every time. So I know I'm here for a reason. Not sure what that reason is right now, but that's, like, just allowing to, like, put my foundation there instead of in the game is something that I found very helpful.
I remember when David Villar was here a couple of years ago, I asked him about you when you were having that great year in San Jose, and he was like, well, you know, when I knew him, he was a first baseman.
Yeah.
Back in college. Does it feel like, in a sense, you're still kind of new to pitching? Because you haven't, just in terms of innings, you haven't thrown that much over the career, even going back to college.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that just looking at numbers and innings pitched. Like, you could say it looks like that, but I feel like just from being around the game, like watching other people, like being around these guys, like been around some really good pitchers. So just being able to like talk with them and just go through the process of bullpens, throwing progression. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm new to pitching. Like, I feel like I have picked up a lot of stuff that is helpful for me. I just have to put in a full season.
And of course, you did throw a full season in San Jose, so it's not like you've never done that before. But obviously, moving up to Double A, the Eastern League, that's going to be the greatest competitive challenge you've faced before. Are you feeling good about where you are physically, mentally, that you are ready to come out and really show kind of who you Carson Ragsdale is as a pitcher this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited for this year. I think everything kind of goes according to plan. I think it'll be a really amazing year. Just one, the team that we have here is going to be really awesome. There's a lot of good guys, a lot of great baseball players. So one, I'm just really excited to be here playing with them behind me and in the rotation. Like, bullpen's really good. So I think we have a lot of really good people, really good players here. So I'm excited to kind of put it all together and go out there and compete.
Do you want to give me a little scouting report of your fellow pitchers on the staff?
Yeah. I think John Michael Bertrand throws a lot of strikes, a lot of good stuff, just in the zone, getting a lot of ground balls, weak outs, efficient. Birdie, just power stuff, really good. I haven't really played with him yet, but just kind of watching the spring training and stuff, he just looks like he's a competitor, attacks his zone, all that. Murph is the man. Just kind of the same as John Michael in the way that he just competes, throws strikes, and gets ahead of guys. And yeah, it's going to be a really good group.
Well, Carson, I'm really excited about spending the summer watching you pitch and develop as a pitcher, and I just can't wait to see where this summer takes you.
I appreciate it. Right. Yeah, thank you.
So that is Carson Ragsdale. He's a bit of a sleeper in the organization, just because the injuries have taken him off the field so much, but he's got as much talent as just about anybody else in here. So if he can stay on the field this year, he can move quickly. And then continuing our theme of feeling good, I also spoke with Hunter Bishop. He talked a lot about feeling good mentally, getting in a good place mentally, getting away from some of the people on social media who have been saying and not nice things about him for the last few years, which just note to listeners, don't be those people. Don't be the one to go on social media and run people down who've had a streak of ill fortune. He looks good. He sounds good. He's off to a great start. And there's nobody in the system. I think everybody's pulling forward to have a good, full, healthy, productive season, more than Hunter Bishop. So we sat down and had a little talk about where he is. Hunter, it's great to finally meet you. I've covered your career for many, many years,
yeah.
But it is fantastic to see you here in person. Everybody I talked to in Scottsdale, when I asked who was having a good camp, they'd say Hunter is having a really, really good camp. How did it feel to be kind of back on the field and competing well?
Well, really good. You know, obviously been through a lot in my couple years with the Giants, but I feel good. I feel like, you know, relaxed and ready for a good year, and my body's in a great place, my mind's in a better place, so yeah, I'm just happy to be here.
I'm sure you're tired of talking about sort of injury and rehab all the time. But tell me about those two things. How do you work on getting your body in a good place and also keep your mind in a good place? How do you keep on those two tracks sort of simultaneously when you've been away from the field for a year?
Yeah, I mean, first week of 2020, no baseball. I did great in the alternate site, but no one can see that, you know? So that was kind of not a wasted year, but a year where I didn't get to experience professional baseball. 2020 rolled around. That was kind of when the injury started, 2021. And then from there, it was just kind of like a battle to, one, at least be on the field physically. But more than anything, it was, you know, all mental. Not being on the field, not being able to play, and then having to deal with, you know, seeing a lot of the things you'll see as a first rounder. And that's just the reality of the situation, you know. There's some mean people out there. There's some people that don't want to make you feel good. And it wasn't until, you know, I met my wife that I really fed into a lot of those things, and I let a lot of those things as, like, the human side of me. I let it affect me. I let it wear me down. And before you know it, I'm in a place where I'm 4 or 5 years removed from being drafted, and people forget about me, you know. So until I met her, it wasn't until I started working on my mental game. And it allowed me to, you know, refocus on what's important, what I need to do in my career, because, you know, I didn't get drafted just because I'm a nice guy, you know? So I realized that, and I know that there's a lot of great baseball to be played ahead of me, but I had to take care of the mental stuff before I could do the physical stuff.
Yeah, I think that's true of everybody, right? You have to be in the right place in your mind to be the best person you can be. I remember reading an interview you gave when you were in the Arizona Fall League, where you were asked is it like riding a bike? Is it you're right back in the box and everything feels the same as it always is, or do you have to kind of relearn again every time? And you said you kind of have to relearn. Is that the way it's been for you kind of throughout your career with stops and starts? Do you feel like you're always sort of back to square one a little bit?
Totally. I mean, a lot of it has been starting over again. I mean, I think a big thing people can see is, you know, not everybody's a Jackson Holliday. Not everybody's a Bryce Harper. There's people who, you know, have to get a lot of at-bats before they can become a really good baseball player. And I think a thing people forget about me is I started playing baseball my junior year of high school. So in the grand scheme of baseball career, I have not had that many at-bats. Yeah. And I think in my pro ball career, I have less than 500 or 600 or something. So, I think the most important thing for me is to play baseball, and the rest will come, you know, especially that I'm in a good place with my mental game. Just get at bats, be consistent. I think that's the name of the game. And then the more at bats you get, the more consistent you get, the more you can string along good numbers, and then the good things happen, you know?
So I was just talking to Ragsdale kind of about the same thing, and I asked him, in a way you're kind of new to pitching because you don't have a lot of just game innings, and he said, no, I don't really feel new to pitching because I've had all the bullpens and the lab and the off-season work. There's a lot of development now that is not, you know, specific to games. Have you been able to take advantage of technology or data, whatever it is, to help develop parts of your game that weren't specific to, you know, the parts of your body you were rehabbing during those times?
For sure. I mean, I think give a lot of credit to the Giants organization as a whole, Kyle Haynes. I love that guy. You know, I owe a lot of my, I don't know the exact word, but just being able to have the resilience to get back on the field. He's always believed in me. You know, as I kind of told you, there's people who haven't. And he's a guy who has been there for me since day one, and I cannot say enough good things about him. But I would say, you know, working on the mechanics of my swing or watching video, that would help, but I don't think you're able to, like, simulate a game unless you're in a game. So this offseason I was at Cressy Sports Performance in Florida, and we got to take some live at-bats there. So I kind of got a little bit of a head start coming into spring training, but I actually got, I'd say, probably 50, 60 at-bats in spring training, and I felt great.
You know, resiliency and perseverance are just such a huge part of development. I feel like that's something I'm always talking about players with here. You obviously have an older brother who has been in the game as well. How does that help you to sort of have somebody who's gone through some of this stuff to talk to and have as a sounding board?
Definitely. I mean, I think just being able to watch everything he's been through. You know, now he's working for Scott Boras, and that's a cool job, you know. But I think during his career, just being able to watch him go through the ups and downs of baseball, knowing you're going to be on the other side, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, it's just been pretty cool. It was pretty cool to watch his career. He was a great ball player, and he had a good career. You know, not everybody's going to play 10 years in the majors. He got there, and he can forever say he's a Major League Baseball player, so pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I say this all the time. If you took everybody who has ever been in a major league game, it wouldn't, you know, half fill a stadium for a single night.
Totally.
I was talking when I was in Arizona with somebody in a different organization about a different player, and he was saying, you know, one thing I wonder is, you know, when you've been away from the field for a long time, how do you keep your sense of competitiveness alive? Is that a challenge for you as well? Like, what have you done to sort of keep that side of you sort of alive and healthy and growing?
I mean, I think that's a great statement. I think it's hard. I think it's hard to that you. I don't know. There's no thing that can replicate stepping into a box and facing a pitcher or opening day, the feeling of the butterflies and stuff. You just can't. But I like to play golf. That's my favorite thing to do. And you know, I'll play games with my buddies. And yeah, you know, that's what everybody says, I'm sure. So I think one of that and. You know, just, I would say more than anything, just the fire of not playing kind of, or you kind of lights a fire under you when you don't play, knowing that you're just missing the season, missing your buddies, missing watching them get to hit home runs while you're sitting on the sideline, you know, so just stuff like that.
One thing that's really cool about you, of course, you also have your music career and the stuff you do in the studio, which seems like a very different headspace. Is that for you like a mental balance? Like, how do you think of sort of these two disparate parts of you?
Yeah, no, I like to just be like a well-rounded human. I think, you know, obviously baseball is my job. It's what I do, but it's not always who I am. I've always said that. So there's other things I like to do. I like to, you know, hang with my wife. I love music. I love to play golf. So just try to be well-balanced and not have everything be surrounding baseball, you know.
So one thing I feel like I have to ask you while I have you here is, you're on this team, Grant McRae's on this team, Vaughn Brown's on this team. Who is the fastest guy on this team? You got some speed on this club.
We got a fast team, yeah. I don't know. Honestly, we've all never raced. I'm sure they'd get me, but I don't know. I'm sure it's close. Grant's very fast though.
And you both can really chase it down.
That's right.
Do you guys compete on who's chasing down the most flies?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. No. I'll let the data speak for itself. I have no idea. Grant's a great outfielder. Vaughn's a great outfielder too. And honestly, I don't know him as an outfielder totally, but I'm so impressed with Victor Barrichotto.
Yeah.
Great kid, and he's absolutely unbelievable at hitting. So he totally. Love him. Can't say enough good things. We got a great team, so I'm really excited.
It is a really dynamic group. I know spring training's a little weird the way lineups work there, but did you guys get to spend much time, you know, playing together and starting to build that sort of team dynamic?
We had a lot. This year was different than normal. I don't know why, but I would say like. For most of spring training, the infielders were with the AAA, we were with the AA group, so we didn't get like a complete group until the last couple of days. And I mean, it's a fun dugout. We all love each other. It's probably I'm the most excited I've ever been for a team, and I'm sure it's locker room wide they'd say that. Yeah, no, we're really excited, and I think the talent on the team speaks for itself. We got a good pitching staff and a really good set of hitters.
A lot of your teammates have played here in Richmond before, and I'm sure they've told you kind of what the crowds are like here and the way they respond to a dynamic club. I'm guessing this is going to be a pretty good interaction relationship between team and fans this year.
For sure. I can't wait. Yeah, no, I've heard nothing but good things.
Well, I can't wait to see what you do with a full, healthy season.
I know. Let's do it.
And watch your progress, you know, on the field and off as a whole person, as you say. I wish you nothing but good luck in the coming years.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It's really exciting to see Hunter in such a good place, mentally and physically, as he says. Let's hope he gets some reps. Let's hope he gets, you know, 100 games, 120 games under his belt this year, because that would be really fun and exciting to see what comes from that. And lastly, before I go, I did talk a little bit with Richmond manager Dennis Pelfrey about his team, about the upcoming season, and how he tries to motivate the guys who are getting the return assignment, which is not necessarily what you want as a minor league player. Pelf, it's great to see you back in Richmond again for a third year. I know in Scottsdale you don't always get to coach the same players you're gonna have with you in the spring. But tell me about this club you have this year.
Very dynamic ball club. Really excited about the crew that we have. We're gonna be able to do a lot of different things, and we're gonna do them really well, I think. So I'm excited about getting to see these guys on the field as the entertainers that they are. Overall, just kind of looking at it, I think we're pretty solid in every aspect. And, you know, when I say dynamic, it really means like if our hitting is off one night, we're going to be able to keep ourselves in the ball games with our defense and pitching and base running. And if our pitching's off a little bit, our hitting's going to come through, I think. And I think we're going to balance each aspect of the game very well with the ball club that we have.
You have, I was just talking about this with Hunter, you have a lot of team speed on this team. It feels like one of the faster teams I've seen here in Richmond. And specifically, you have in the outfield, you have some really gifted defensive center fielders. How is that going to work itself out through the year? Do you think you're going to rotate guys around the way we've seen you do in the past?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, obviously the front office for the Giants is going to have a little say in how that goes. But, you know, and I would even throw Barracuda in that mix, played some center field this spring too. And so, you know, having four or five, Carter Howell plays center field as well. So five center fielders, on the roster that, you know, can go play all three positions at a very high level is exciting. And like you said, the speed, you know, we're a lot faster team, than we've had in years past here. So, you know, the base running is going to be a huge part for us, you know, pushing the pace a little bit, scoring from first a lot more, scoring from second, stealing some bases, which, you know, we've been really good the past couple of years in base running itself, but not necessarily stealing bases. So, I think Tyler Fitzgerald was a guy we had who could steal some bases, but he wasn't with us long last year to really showcase that. But, this year, I think that, you know, we're going to do some things in that aspect it's going to be a lot different than we've done in the past. And, which is going to create an exciting environment, I think, for the fans, too.
The other side of the ball, too, right? I mean, it's the kind of speed that can sort of cut off balls into the gaps in the big outfield here at the Diamond. It's really going to help you on the run prevention side as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that, the special thing about those outfielders is they all work extremely hard as well. And, you know, they take a lot of pride in their craft. So, yeah, I think from a pitching standpoint, we don't have to worry about, fly balls that are going to hit the grass. I think they're all going to be caught.
So one thing about this year's roster, a lot of returning players. I think we have 18 guys who are coming back here. So turning to the development side of your position, what is your message for guys who, you know, obviously everybody wants to keep moving upwards. How do you work with guys to help get them to the place they want to be?
Yeah, I think it's just continuing to work. I think, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, the work is probably the most important thing for these guys. In the game, they get to showcase that work. So, and the message this year really has been just the simple fact that we're going to prepare you guys for, you know, the next level, and you're going to be more prepared at that level than anybody else there. So when that call does happen, it's not going to be a baseball decision that gets you sent out of there. So I think that, you know, that part of it, as long as we're working hard, you know, before the games and creating some confidence in the work that we're doing, the games, you know, are going to be fun and exciting to watch, and they're going to perform really well, and we're going to make the decisions really tough on the front office moving forward.
I mean, organizationally, it's good that it's hard for guys to move up. That means you have really good guys at the next level, and the next level, and the next level. And, of course, it just gets harder from here. But that's kind of good for everybody, right?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that, you know, what's special about these guys here with the Giants too, they root for each other too. So, you know, guys playing the same position in AAA as the guy here, you know, it's not like he's wishing bad things upon that player so he can have that spot. I think it's just it's healthy competition. And And it's only going to make everybody else better all the way down.
And that's definitely true on the pitching staff. There are a lot of guys who've been here before, a lot of guys you've leaned on and trusted before. Just looking at it, this should be a pretty competitive Eastern League pitching staff, I would think.
Yeah, I think that I've said it a lot of times that this league is, in my opinion, the best league in minor league baseball. There's really good talent all the way across the board, really good hitters, really good pitching. And I think that, you know, this ball club, from a pitching standpoint, you know, we're going to be up there with the best of them in the league. And we're going to be able to neutralize some of the really good hitters in the league, too, I think, with what we have, the weapons we have.
Do you know what your starting rotation is going to look like at this point?
Yeah. John Michael Bertrand is going to open us up on Friday night at Somerset. And then Ragsdale and then Murphy will go on Sunday. And then the home opener will be Hayden Birdsong.
And do you have guys in mind who we might be seeing more often than not, trying to nail down the end of games?
No, I mean, I think that I want everybody to be able to close the game, right? I want everybody to be able to showcase their ability to be able to get the last out of a game, which is very difficult to do. So, you know, obviously there's going to be guys we lean on more than others. I mean, Myrick is a guy that comes to mind where, you know, he was pretty much in that role for us last year. And, you know, I don't foresee him coming out of that type of role, but if we need Myrick in the sixth inning to shut down a bases loaded jam we're in, then we're going to do that too. So I think for everybody to be able to have that ability to be able to come in and close a game is unique and special. So for them to get that experience, I think, you know, you're probably going to see several of those bullpen arms in that situation and see what we got early, especially early.
You also have a lot of continuity on your coaching staff. Your pitching coach, Paulo Segura, hitting coach, Corey Lazic, Lipto Nava. You've been with these guys for a few years now. Does that make it easier, establishing that sort of comfort level to come together as a team?
Yeah, it's nice. It's really nice. I mean, you know, especially these guys knowing how I operate and my expectations and, you know, kind of thinking on the same page, but doing things a little bit differently, you know, and I think that it makes for a really special environment for the coaching staff. And then, you know, you sprinkle in some new other support staff people, you know, with a new strength coach, new analyst, new video person, trainer, you know, that I've had this trainer as well too in 21. So, he has a little bit of an idea of how I operate and how things are going to go. And so there's some excitement there for some new people to get to come here for the first time as well. And then obviously the guys coming back, they're excited to be back as well. So I think that it's, from a staff standpoint, we shouldn't really miss a beat. And, you know, we'll be at our best trying to help these guys from day one, you know, blossom into the player they're supposed to be.
Well, Pelf, I can't wait to see how this year's journey goes. Thanks for taking some time to talk with me.
All right, appreciate you, Roger.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
And that is going to do it for this week's There Are Giants podcast. I hope all of you are as excited to get this minor league season going as I am. I'll see you at the ball yard. Thanks, everybody. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.